with me to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. It's the key verse for the blessing series. Tonight, I'm going to preach the blessing series, part 2. We started before Christmas, and this is the key verse in there. I'm going to read it in the King James translation of the Bible, and you just follow along with me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You know, the first trillion times I heard that, I was wondering, what does that mean? You know, and as I learned how to study the Bible and got deeper into the Word, is that, you know, it just made me, I finally realized there was more to it. What was there, it's kind of hidden there. Now, I cut my teeth on the King James Bible, and I love the King James translation, but I learn through many other translations and quote many other translations. For instance, there is one translation that says this here: the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and no hard work can add to it. And it's important that we understand what I'm teaching about here. And I'm not... Now, let me tell you something. Does the Word say that hard work is bad? No. Paul made it very clear. He that won't work shouldn't eat. He that won't take care of his own family. It's not saying that. But I think in order for you to grow and to know what the blessing of the Lord is, you need to know what the heck the blessing of the Lord is. And it's not anything that you can do. Here's another translation of the same verse, the Amplified. I love the Amplified translation. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and toiling or hard work does not increase it. Now, let me tell you, there are people in this life that have things, and they have them because they work hard all their life. I understand that. We all understand that. But hard work and the blessing that comes from God doesn't have to do with working hard for God or anybody else. And what I hope to do in this study is, first of all, say what the blessing of the Lord is, and number two, how to get the blessing of the Lord. Because it ain't by working hard. Let's face it, Jesus said this: many will say to me in that day, speaking of the judgment day, Lord, I have done many wonderful things for you, and so on and so forth. Surely I'm fine. And the Lord said, you have to understand what the Lord wants from you. The Lord is not looking for holiness from you. Because we're all born into sin, for God's sake. Let's just be honest. You know, Billy Graham preached many years, lived to be 100 years old. And every message almost that he ever preached, I heard him say, I'm a sinner. And this was after he was born again. And a movement that I've followed for many years, they say, oh, don't say that. No, we're redeemed. We're not sinners anymore. Well, it's funny. The greatest preacher of modern times said it many, many times. If you've heard of any of Billy Graham's messages, you can hear them all on YouTube. He says it. I'm a sinner. We're sinners. See, that's what we came from. And that's what God has to work with to change us. And he's satisfied with that. And he wants to help us. And he has the power to help us. Another translation says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and can make you, and says, and hard work will make you no richer. It's not about that. It's about the blessings of God. And so I want you to know, we're going to learn, how do we get the blessings of God? God did not say in that verse, stop working. What we have to do is find out how biblically, what does the Word of God say in every Bible, no matter what church it is in, what does the Bible say about pleasing God, about getting on the blessing side of God? And that's what we're hopefully going to learn here. What truly is the blessing of the Lord, number one, and how does one get the blessing of the Lord? How does one get the blessing of the Lord? I'm going to attempt, and that is, when I'm through, I won't be through with all the what the Word has to say about that. It's in there. Page after page tells us, and it has to do with something far more important, because we've already failed. Psalm 139, David said this, I was a sinner. I was conceived in sin. I was a sinner from the womb till I was born and as I lived my life. So, but how does one please God, and where he pours his blessing out? And I'm telling you, every person in this room has the ability to please God in the way that the blessings of God will come upon you, and that God is so good, he maketh the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, brings rain to everybody, and he's even kind to the worst kind of people. He's kind to them. God is just good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I'm going to take you to one of the things that you can do. And as I explain it, you'll know that we have a problem with this. I know I do at times. And put up, if you would, please, fellas, Isaiah 43. Verses 18 and 19, King James language, thus saith the Lord. And you know what? As I looked for people to take very personal what I just shared, I found four people that wanted a personal word. Every one of you, take this very, very personal. Because this is what God wants to do, and I'm going to reiterate for the next few minutes on that. And he certainly... I was on the Job Chronicles, and I've still got about 2 to 3 messages left there. We'll get to that. It's all beautiful. But the Lord said, Angelo, I want to set the stage for the new year. I want people to know some very encouraging, powerful things, and I want you to teach people how to get under the spout where the glory and the blessings come out. And there is a way that you can do that. An everyday way for every person in here, no matter what you think. How many times do we think, well, there's a voice that says, well, you're not anything. You're no good. You're a hypocrite. You say one thing, you do another. You shouldn't even go to church. There's no sense in going to church. You're bad. You're wrong. You're a bad person, blah, blah, and so on and so forth. Well, I want you to know, the day you were born, you were just what God the Father was looking for. And that's the absolute truth in the Word of God. Amen? And you know, Satan tries to take that away from us every day. Pastor Kay has been preaching on it. We're reminded constantly of what we did wrong, of how we're not worthy, we weren't good enough. And Satan will cause us to try to continue to let live something that we did maybe 25, 40, 50 years ago even. And we have to get past that. And that is not really easy. And But you can do it. You can get a hold of yourself. And I'll tell you, I get up here and I worship the way I feel like I need to worship. I love God. And if you don't think there are voices and people, they won't say it to my face usually, that are talking about me, thinking, who is he? What does he think he is? Right before I take this a little further, I promised somebody, I got an unusual request. And this is what it was. A person asked me, Pastor, would you remind me to tithe? He said, I know God wants me to. And you know, one of the things that we don't talk about much here, because people will misconstrue, oh, they just want your money. And that's not quite true. But I said, could I bring this up in the service that I'm going to tonight? He said, yeah. He said, you sure can. But I'm going to tell you, if there are things that we can do, okay, because you and me ain't going to be holy. I mean, I don't care who you are. We done missed that before we ever came out of the womb. Okay? But one of the things we can do, and I'm going to say is Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, right in there, talks about being a tither. I don't talk about it unless I'm provoked. Okay? And I'm just saying this here. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Well, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And then the word says there, and people try to limit that to the Old Testament. But the Lord says there, bring ye all the tithe into my house, to my storehouse, and test me, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that it will be impossible to keep it all in. You'll just have to, it'll just be too much. I've been living like that for years. I've learned not to tell people about my personal life and blessings, this and that, because it sounds awful. Some people are just, they get upset about that. And I don't want to upset anybody. And after I finish what I'm about to say here, you won't hear it again till somebody else. But if you ask me, I have a reason for every hope that's inside of me. And it was about 4 years, after I was saved for about 4 years, I understood the concept of tithing and giving. And you cannot outgive God. And if you release your tithes, that's one of the things that will bring on the blessings of the Lord. But it's not the only thing. And the blessings of the Lord is not all about money. In fact, that's one little thing. We're not talking about that here. I watch YouTube. I love YouTube. And they got, for instance, there's a series in there, 10 celebrities that died before their time, or they did this, or they did that. You ever see that stuff on TV, on YouTube there, and how people missed it, and they had everything going, so on and so forth. But just that act of obedience, and there's a great fear to doing that. I can remember when I married Millie. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, now, Millie, I've never lived with a girl. I never did. I did awful things. Don't ask me what, and I won't ask you what you did. But I'm going to tell you something. I said, now, remember me telling you this, Millie? We had furniture that was made out of crates and things. We were just two happy kids. And I said, but there's one thing I honestly don't know. Do you remember what it was? I said, I don't know if we'll have enough money to buy me. I don't know. I never had a wife before. I never shacked up with him. Now listen, don't think that's the only way you can sin. Let me tell you, there's lots of ways to sin. I mean, I found a bunch of ways. But let me say this here. I didn't know. And so when I got saved, and I dated Millie in church, by the way, that's how we dated. I said, if you want to, you know, and here I was, long-haired, didn't look right, or Dad said, stay away from him. You know, I had a little 63 Chevy station wagon. The back windows were painted so you couldn't see in or see out. And he said, I don't, we live right next door to them. But anyhow, when the Lord came into my life, he began to change me. In about 1975, 76, right in there, he began to teach me how to tithe. And here's what he did. We had a beautiful wedding in 74, and we had so much finances. I have just card after card, money, just money, money, money. And I thought, wow. And Millie contracted an affliction called Valley Fever. The only places you can get Valley Fever is in the San Joaquin Valley and in Israel. That's the only two places. And we had no insurance, and we had to take her. It's very, very serious. People die from it, right, Millie? And we had to get her these cortisone shots. Well, they weren't cheap, and I had to pay for every one of them. And we depleted our finances. And it really made me look at those verses that said, will a man rob God? Well, by the time I got to that, I had $5 left. That was it. I had $5 left. And I took that $5 and I thought to myself, it ain't going to keep me alive. I said, God, I'm going to give you this $5. And I sent that to Billy Graham. And before he got it, I got a job. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. And the things I know well. To add to that, there's many, many things I don't know. But I'm sure interested, and I want to know. But anyhow, so that's that. So I mentioned that, and I'm just going to tell you, there are things that you can do. We'll try to get into way more than just that. I won't mention that again in this series unless somebody asks me, would you please, you know, I don't talk about it. Why? Because it's a point of contention between the pulpit and the pew. And there is a very stagnant awfulness in people that just want to go to church. They don't want to be saved. And they have a terrible view, a lot of times, of who's behind the pulpit. Oh, they just want your money there, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I've heard it all. And you certainly don't want to. I don't want to tell people a lot of stuff. I mean, the blessings that I have, just, you know what? And you know what? None of them blessings are as important to me than Millie and my devotion starting in the morning and going all day long. You want to know what the biggest blessing I've had in the last several years? You want to know what it is? I felt for years that my wife had another lover. It was her job. It seemed to be more important than me. And it was just, you know, when you're an RN, you just got to do a lot. And I took it like a big baby, and I didn't like it. Well, she done got retired. And since then, she's become a person of the Word of God. And she knows that Word. I don't ask her to pray by accident. I believe that she's beginning to show the moving of the Holy Spirit in her life. And I'm very, very pleased with that. And so I gave Billy Graham that $5. And I've told this before, I'll be quick with this part. I had a pack of hounds like I have right now. And I could buy in Patterson a box of turned, outdated steaks and every cut of meat, all kinds of things. And Millie and I, one of our favorite meals, we'd go to, what was the big town there? Modesto. Yeah. We'd go there because in Modesto, they were selling fish sticks very cheap. I mean, like $2 or less for a mess. And I would buy them, and we'd eat that. I said, well, I want to tell you. And then we were watching the news one night, and that same store that was selling us them fish sticks, they got busted. They were taking fish juice and putting it on sponges and breading it up, and that's what we were eating. I thought, what the heck? And I was in my backyard, and I had this big box of steaks, and I looked them over, and I thought, I wonder if I could eat one of these. I said, nah, I don't want to eat one of these. Give it to Fido. And I was back there, and this is exactly how this happened. The Lord said, Angelo. I said, here I am, Lord. He said, try to outgive me. That was in 1975. Right after he said that, I mean, me and Millie weren't sure what we were going to do. I have never asked her parents or my parents for help, have we? Never. Never. At that same moment, Millie stuck her head out the door and said, Ange, Patterson Frozen Foods just called for you to come to work. They want you to be there at 7 o'clock tonight. From that moment on, I knew that this happened because of a move that I'd made in my life. I was trying to please God, and I became unafraid of my finances. You can't handle finances and be afraid. It'll mess you up. And my lunch break would come at about 10 or 11 at night, and I would usually come home, and there would be Ben Kinslow and Pat Robertson, the 700 Club, and I'd watch them, and they always had something on giving and receiving and just powerful truths in the Bible, and I just grew. And today, we're blessed in that, but the biggest blessing that I've had lately is that my wife is home with me, and we have fun all day long. And no, I'm not any easier to get along with. That's why, lately, after 51 years of marriage, I'm beginning to put two and two together, because I'm not just saying this. Other women would have done drop my butt. I've never met anybody like her. I said, did she come out of a box somewhere? How did people, so kind and so patient. And I just love her. Now, nothing I've said has taken me off track at all of the subject that we're on, the blessings of the Lord. And this is what the word says here. Remember ye not the former things. Now, everyone in here and everybody that hears, remember not the former things. Everybody at the beginning of this new year, I will do a new thing. You look at me over here. It sure is. God's going to do a new thing. Everybody, you look at me. God's going to do a new thing in 26 in your life. Look at me. I swear to goodness, God's going to do a new thing in your life this year. God's going to do a new thing. How many of you believe that? Okay, me too. Me too. And now look at this next word. It's an important word. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now here's the word. Now. Now. Not when you die and go to heaven. Now. God wants to do something in your life now, right now, this year, in your life, something that he's never done before, something that will bless you more than you've ever been blessed before. And how many of you can take that and put that in here and hold on to that and walk out of here believing God's going to do something for me? God's going to do something for me. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And God just told me God's going to do something. How many of you can feel that coming off this pulpit? That's for you. That's for you. That's for you. God's going to do something for you. What is it? I don't know. I'm not God, but it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be powerful. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Okay. There's another question. Okay. You know something about the blessings of the Lord? You got to be looking for them. When God makes a promise in his word to you, you got to take that very personal. You got to say, God's speaking right to me. I came to the place in my walk with Jesus at a very young age. I just began to say, God, I said, I don't know how this is going to hit you, but I'm expecting you to do that promise that I just heard about. And I held on to him. And oh my gosh. Now, beginning tonight, all year long, God's going to do a new thing in your life. God's going to do something new. God's going to do something wonderful. Mike and Frank, would you help me, please? And in just a moment, let's go to the altar for a moment. And then these two fine gentlemen are going to serve us communion. Make an altar if you can.